All right, welcome to Shootcast. This is number two. This is the April show. We are sitting here up at Washougal. My name's Joey Lancaster. I got Ryan Huffman here. And we're, again, just this is season 54, so 54 years of dirt bike action here at Washougal. And if you didn't listen to the first one, you can go click on that. We chat about a lot of the sponsors and a lot of the other changes and things that we're trying to do. And this one, number two, we're going to dig into to some more of that and some questions that you guys sent in. Again, you can send questions to info@washougalmxpk.com. Could be any question you have at the track that we could cover. Could be today we're going to talk about weather. Like we had a question about, hey, why don't you guys run more when it's wet? My dad always yells at me because, you know, he used to race when it was raining sideways, things like that. So any questions you have, send it our way. Each month we're going to do one of these, and we're trying to help just spread the word on, hey, what are we doing here at Washougal? What's coming up? Maybe there's issues or problems we're trying to get through, track changes that, I mean, maybe we'll talk about that a little bit as we look towards the national that's going to be happening this July 19th. And we'll look into some of those. But first off, we want to say thanks to all our sponsors here at the track. So motosport.com, an obvious one here for the Northwest, is their Northwest company, but they help a lot of riders, and they've helped Washougal for a long time. Fox Racing, Peterson Cat Rental, of course, Monster Energy Drink, Motorsport Hillsboro, McCord's Vancouver Toyota, Dunlop, Fusion Graphics, McGovern Metals, Sims Electric, Dirt Bandit, Duvall, Hero Fence, Adrenaline Design, and of course, Moto the Northwest. And man, we'll jump right in here, Ryan. Here's the second one. It's good to keep these rolling here. We are in April, and we have, I guess, a few events that are coming up that we can we'll drop with is April 19th. This is the first week of April that we're doing this, but April 19th is going to be our first organized practice on the track.
Yeah, scheduled. Yep.
Scheduled practice, and then the 26th, so April 26th and 27th, those will be race number one and race number two of the Classic 7 MX Series here at Washougal.
Yep, that's to get started off. Obviously, we run the following weekend as a makeup weekend if needed, but the last couple of years we haven't needed that, and let's hope for the same this year.
Yeah, and you know, early April, it happens every year, right? I know you hear it. It's the weather in the Northwest. Everybody likes to complain about it in the fall and the spring because it'll be snowing, then it'll be sunny, and then you'll be sweating, and then you'll be cold, and all of the above, right? And so those are just things that we have to dance around. I think the biggest thing that me and you have chatted about, and this is no news for anybody that's around any of the tracks or follows up with anything on the internet, is insurance. And yeah, Insurance is something that, I'll say out of the gate, like, there's a handful of tracks that lost insurance in the Northwest just this year. And when I say lost, it's like it's either they were denied insurance from their current provider, they were able to go out, they're in the mix of finding new insurance now. There was one, there's only a couple insurance companies that allow motorcycle racing. And one of those that a lot of them used last year just decided, hey, we're not going to do that anymore. So it put a lot of tracks in a quick fill. I guess the best way that I can describe it to some of you guys out there listening is that if you say you're in the construction world and you bid on a job, right? You bid on a job that, hey, you're going to do X, and you had a supplier that you would get whatever it may be. Maybe it's gravel, maybe it's conduit, something, right? And you knew it was that price. So you bid that job, you show up for that job, you call that supplier, and they go, hey, it went up 3 times.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, hopefully it's something small, but for insurance, that's one of our biggest expenses here when we talk about year-round expenses. So that's something that not only us, but other tracks are going through right now, is going like, okay, man, I bid on this year of this particular product, and now that's not there, and those costs are going up. So talk a little bit about what you've kind of been going through here this last month since we talked last.
Yeah, just a lot of work on insurance. You know, we got, you know, quite the facility here to insure, so it's a little different than just some of your smaller tracks. But, you know, that said, it could be double. It's going to be at least double, but somewhere between double and triple the price this year. But you know, we're going to do it. We're going to open, this is what we do, and it's part of it. And it's just where things are headed. You know, the insurance companies, they're working hard right now because there's only a few left. And now you got X amount of tracks across the US coming at them all at once. And you know, your renewal date, let's just say, is April 15th. Tax day, but
yeah.
Anyways, that roughly April seems to be, highly renew date for a lot of tracks across the U.S., and you're in line with a few others, and we're kind of one of those right now, and been working with a couple groups, so we'll see where we end up, but it's definitely going to be more costly for us this year. We are going to, you know, we're going to have an ambulance at all of our classic races this year, along with like the old timers and regionals and AMA events. We always have ambulances according to AMA, but that's a thing we're going to do this year, is just have them at our races for sure. We have a killer, you know, nothing against the crew we have. We have knowingly one of the best crews in the U.S. according to the Alpine Stars medic crew that travels around to all the big national tracks. So, that, you know, grateful for that. And I'll be honest, AMR, when they have to have rider transport and they got our guys getting it to that point, it's just, it's awesome. So our guys are great. Nothing against them there. I just think moving forward, that's where we're going to head and be a little step ahead of that with where insurance is headed, whether it's fully required or not, we're doing it this year.
Yeah. I think it's just, it's another box to check, right?
Like, yeah.
I mean, Hollywood and his team is our, you know, our first aid guys up here, and they also do, you know, Thursday Night Motocross. They do a couple other tracks, right? Woodland and a couple other tracks in the area, but it's an added benefit to just what we can offer the riders, right? So although they're great at what they do, it's kind of like having that little extra, right?
Yeah.
It's that little bit extra there, that safety net. Hey, if I mean, you got to be honest too, like some of the, we have a lot of bikes on the track. So sometimes you have that wild either practice or moto where there's maybe a couple people down on its, you know, opposite ends of the track, you know, when that happens, it's nice to be able to radio that, you know, the ambulance and let them know like, hey, you guys are on call. We have our first aid guys are down on the track right now. So that's great.
Yep.
And you say AMA, and that's something that we're digging into to where we want to make sure that, you know, AMA has been something that has supported motorcycle racing from the very beginning, you know, and they've been great on the back end to help all of the tracks and help all of the tracks and promoters, I guess I should say, figure out a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's
there. You know, AMA struggled in the Northwest. Well, you know, we can be honest about that. You got like Port Angeles. That's one of the longest running AMA tracks ever. And they've kind of veered away. But AMA is doing some things again, you know, across the whole United States, to help maybe with some legislation. I'm not going to say it all. I don't know how much I'm supposed to say or not say, but to bring some light to our sport, like rodeo and some of the other stuff that's going to work right now to help insurance be a little more manageable to insure a motocross track. So AMA's definitely do some work behind the scenes with different states that have already bid onto this. Maybe Texas is one of them, I've heard. But some things in the background to really help motocross, you know, stick around and be insurable. So that's good to know, you know. And you bring it up AMA, like, I'll let you get into it, but there's possibilities we might, you know, do that this year. We're only 2 weeks out from our series, but I'm still trying to finalize insurance. So how that looks, do we really need to be AMA or not? Sorry that we're last minute for all the riders coming in. I feel for the most part, a lot of our riders in the Northwest do AMA for the amateur days. So I'm hoping that's not too much if we do go in AMA, but I'll let you get into more of that. We got motorsport.com that'll help us kind of, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the way I look at it is any other sanctioning body, any other thing you go race, there's something that you have to click into, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Is it an extra expense if it's full AMA here at the track, right? Which you're about ready to click on, you know, sign dots and things on that you're trying to figure out, right? Is that an extra cost? Yes. Now, if you look at that, it's, what is it, $50, right?
To get to
get your standard AMA card.
Yeah.
That's less than what you paid for dinner tonight.
Probably in today's world,
right?
Yeah.
That's about what, let's be real. That's about what a case of beer costs. So I don't want to hear,
that's some good
I don't want to hear people arguing that like, hey, we're trying to utilize this outside, you know, or not, I shouldn't even say it's outside. We're trying to utilize this sanctioning body to help connect the dots on a lot of these things, either be insurance, either be, you know, championships that we can pull into the future, things like that. That's an added bonus for all of us.
Yeah, and there's things like, and we're working on this, if you know, in either direction, whether we're AMA or not, but with AMA, they're doing youth or minor, I guess is the word for it. They're doing minor waivers that would last through the whole series.
Yeah.
You know, both parents get it. They get a card from AMA that all AMA races, you're good for the year. Now, obviously, we're lined up with the insurance that AMA uses if we go that route, which is also helpful to us and might be cost saving across the board, not only for us, but for the riders coming to the track. But, yeah, the waiver setup and some of that for the racers will be more streamlined when they come to the tower. And
I can just hear everybody's thumbs and fingers right now getting ready to just start typing away on all the comments and message boards and all that stuff. I'm like, well, why is it taking so long? And like, this is how everything happens when an insurance company decides that, like, hey, we're out. And like my analogy earlier with, you know, if you're in construction and you already bid on that job, like this was news that hit the whole industry, like just gate dropped, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't like we had years to figure this out. It was like, oh, hey, Frank at so-and-so insurance, are we good? He's like, nope, we're out. You're like, what?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
you know, one thing on all that too, that I haven't, you know, AMA is doing a little, you know, some more work on the backside that I think people haven't seen, which is awesome. But also like MX Sports, I don't think people realize this, but we had a meeting with I'm probably not even right, 75 to 90 tracks talking about insurance that MX Sports put together across the U.S.
Yeah.
And they've went to work, like, you know, the Coombs and them, a lot of people don't know this, but they went to work. And the reason it's sticking around and we're getting good options, or I shouldn't say, you know, options, is some of the work that's been done that a lot of people don't know, you know. And so I just, you know, hats off to them guys. You know, sometimes people don't even understand, you know, the people that run Loretta's is MX Sports, obviously, and all that. But there's been some big work done on the backside from them bringing everybody together and doing things and working together on how we can be better facilities and be more insurable, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Yeah, and that's what we chatted about it on episode one. So go back. If you haven't listened to that one, go back and check that one out. But with new insurance comes new rules.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And so –
like pit bikes.
Pit bikes is one of those. I mean, there's tracks here in the Northwest that basically you have a pit bike, you're asked to leave.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the, you know, we don't – they don't need the $40. Basically, your money, if you're not willing to follow the rules – is putting the whole facility, and not, I'm not saying Washougal, I'm just saying every track in general, is putting that facility at risk to then lose the insurance that they just fought to get. So I think, you know, we're asking for everybody's help to say, hey, just leave the pit bike at home. Leave the electric Sauron at home, because it's a lot easier to not ride it when it's not there, right?
Yeah, yeah. And basically, and we'll probably do what quite a few of they put together, a little kind of, well, it's a visual deal I see around social media right now. Mostly the tracks that are doing area qualifiers and that, but for the Loretta stuff, I've been using it, but it's just a picture and it's real basic. Basically, Sauron's and anything fully throttled is a no-go. You know, pedal assist mountain bikes are good to go, golf carts, and basically the easiest way to say it is non-racing side-by-sides and non-racing quads. So that's basically what will be available to use around the track. You will work with our crew this year. And even if you're on those, you know, kids aren't supposed to be on them when the races are over, just to cruise around all night.
Yeah.
There'll be some rules to those too.
Classic 7 series is starting up, this month. So the 26th and 27th. And, that'll be another great one. We talked about in the first episode about, how the awards were going to be given out, the awards for last season. And then also, the end of this Classic 7 series, we're going to do it right at the end of the year, to get all of that done. So we don't have to worry about waiting to the end of the season or beginning of the year and have a weather problem, like we did this last year. So, it'll be great to see everybody come back out for Classic MX or the Classic 7 MX series here at Washougal. Iconic series here as we continue to, grow that. And we have a lot of, thoughts and options going in to what that'll be. And that brings up another, it starts here in April, right? We always have weather in April. So, this was one question that was sent in, but, the question basically was, why don't you guys run when it's wet? And I think we see that, or when it's raining, or when it's going to be muddy, because my dad and my uncle's brother's friend always raced when it was muddy, right?
Yeah.
And all of the above. And I guess from the get-go, it's a lot more expensive to run a race now, right?
Yeah.
Before it used to be, yeah, we got out there with the tractor. There's a little bit of diesel involved. There's, you know, some track labor. And then we paid, you know, flaggers. Hey, here's $40 to hang out out here, right?
What happened to that?
Now,
right?
Yeah. Now every flagger, you know, is a legitimate employee of Washougal. So you have all of that, you know, part, you know, or I guess should say paperwork and you know, back end business that has to be followed on every flagger that's out there. And then one thing I think that a lot of people don't realize is sometimes the weather will teeter totter on, hey, we just rained or it may just rain. So you'll see it, maybe there's like, hey, we're going to postpone this specific race. And then the keyboard, like I can already hear you guys start typing right now. There was a race that you guys canceled and the Sunday was awesome.
Yes.
Monday it was supposed to rain. Well, we're always stuck in a position to where if we don't walk in the track and for you guys listening, walking in the track is packing it in.
We got a roller for the skid steer and stuff now.
If we raced on a Sunday and let's just say rain was maybe not supposed to show up until 6 o'clock that night or Sunday night. Right.
Yeah.
But if we ran all day Sunday, guaranteed, it would have been a killer day. And sometimes we still do, depending on how much rain there is. If we don't have enough time to prep the track for rain, which is walking the track in, since Washougal's on a hill, all of that dirt ends up down in the city of Washougal, basically.
Yeah, we lose dirt, you know, and the drainage is tough with all the ruts and the way the bikes develop the track. So being ready for the next event, you know, gets tough. Let's say it rains, you know, on and off and never gives you 2 or 3 full days. Now you're not getting rid of the mud and water back to a drainable, and then you're not ready for the next race because water's standing everywhere. So there's a little bit to it there, but, you know, it's – when I was young, we raced in the mud, you know, and we went to Loretta's and did all that, and we were the best mud riders.
Yeah.
You know, we've lost a little bit of that, I think. We obviously at Washougal, we don't run events.
How about we do double points in if it's a muddy race?
I mean, I would have done it in a heartbeat, right?
Double points?
Yeah. You know, I think we need to come up with a way to not turn away from every weekend when it could be muddy or might not be muddy.
Yeah.
But it's a tough one.
So that's why I bring that up, because in today's day and age, you can't make everybody happy, right?
Right. Well, so, and it's tougher with social media.
If you run when it's rainy, then the people that are like, I used to race in the rain, I used to race in the mud, are like, hell yeah, they're still doing it, right?
Yeah.
But then we lose all the soil. Yeah. So then you come back on a good day, and then everybody complains, why does the dirt suck? It's like, because it all ran down to the old amateur start, right? Yeah. Or ran, you know, wherever, into drainage ditches or something like that.
Silt ponds. We had a lot of silt ponds.
We didn't have time to walk the track in and prep it for the rain, you know? So, but I just wanted to bring that up, and thanks for the question on that one, on why it's changed. So then here's what I brought up to you. This is something I talked to Mountain View also, because Mountain View's, you know, that's like a slick clay track, right? But if there's a chance of rain that comes up, they usually end up canceling, or also heat too.
Yep.
So I said to them, like, hey, why don't you guys make a weather track? Let's call it a weather track. Maybe it's for when it's super hot, maybe for when it's super wet, but you condense the track down, right?
Yeah.
So then it's less of overhead cost to the track, right? It's like, let's just say if it's hot out, you don't have to have as many waterers. It's easier to prep the track, you know, it's quicker. Same thing for the mud, right?
Yeah.
There's obviously, we don't have waterers when it's muddy out, but it's a smaller track. It's easier to prep. It's less overhead. So then when you get less riders show up, this is the thought, right?
Yeah.
We don't know if it works yet, but if you get less riders that show up, well, it's a little bit less overhead. So Washougal's probably still going to lose out in the end just because of the overall cost to run it. But it could be beneficial. Then maybe we add double points for the Classic 7. Maybe we add some sort of like contingency programs or something like that to incentivize those riders to do that. And then it's maybe not as a big of a ask to like, hey, you're on a 65, you got to do the hill climb, the Dunlop horsepower hill climb, you know, in the mud or something, you know. So I think, I mean, here, and let us know what you guys think, but, you know, it'd be where you turn before the uphill or right up the step up, and then you turn into the whoop, so you're just running that section of the track, you know. And I don't know, maybe it's something to where that, it's something maybe all tracks can do, you know, where they offer that to where they know, hey, we're running the weather track. So you know, as a racer, you're like, hey, they're running.
Yeah.
We're not going to do the whole track, but then maybe it'll, you know, let's save some keyboards out there because these warriors are going after it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's something that we can do. Maybe not, but it's definitely something to think about.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we've even thought about, you know, our schedule. We've, you know, we used to run, what, maybe 10 to 12 motocross events a year, and we're down to 7 for our series outside of, like, regionals and one-off events, Top Gun rentals, but our own is shrunk. You know, maybe we get a couple out there that aren't part of the series that, you know, are a little earlier, you know, beginning of April, and we just – it's rain or shine. And
right.
then we get, you know, kind of get the – just a couple ideas. You know, I'm not sure the right one there. You know, really it's just getting our customers to hold and want to come back and stay a part of our series.
Yep.
And it's – that's, you know – the kind of the angle and why we've shrunk our series down, kind of work supply and demand. And also, you know, there's a lot of tracks in the Northwest and there's only so many weekends. Basically, let's just roll with mid-May till October when the weather's manageable and you really got 3 months in there where it probably is going to be dry, you know, mid-June through mid-September.
Yeah.
So you got to work with the other, you know, the other series, races, etc., to kind of pull off a schedule that works for everybody.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, if you guys have any other questions you want us to cover, send an email to info@washeaglemxpk.com, and we can try to go through those and check it out. I think one thing we kind of end here with is it could be some track changes coming for the National.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'm letting that out of the bag early, but, you know, nobody can see the drawings in front of you.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we got to turn them into the National Series. Actually, today's kind of my final day to get stuff turned in. You know, you got programs that got to be made. TV needs to see it. Do they need to fly somebody out to look at it and know where they place stuff? What do they order? How many lifts? How many not? What camera do they use? There's, like, right. So much goes into all this that people probably
times, right?
Lap times are a piece of it, you know, not getting too long, not too short, you know, what works good for, you know, our sponsors, what they like to see on TV, et cetera. But, you know, we're looking at bringing something down. We don't have Chuck Sun anymore coming out in the middle. So we're thinking about coming up from the lower part of the track and bringing some fun jump, you know, especially for the fans that get built bigger, obviously, for pro day than it would for amateurs. That's also doable throughout the year and just, you know, fun and a change, you know. So hopefully we get that in, you know, maybe let's shoot by June. It's definitely moving some tunnels and a lot of work, but me and Brendan are going to go kind of pace things out and paint out some stuff today to turn in and see if it's going to work. And then from there, you know, speaking of track changes, not to get too sidetracked, but hopefully this year with weather and the way it goes, we can do a couple of our fun changes we've done for our series. I know people like that.
Yeah.
Where we do that change on coming out of the start, running the uphill a little different.
Yep.
So last year we didn't do as much as that. Year before we did, people loved it. So hopefully this year we can incorporate something really cool and new that sticks, and then obviously throwing in some changes up top as we've done.
What are we going to call this new jump? Is it going to be Chuck Jr.?
I don't know if he
should
like
we let
that.
The fans should we let the fans decide? Like maybe we put it out there and let and have like a competition to name this new jump that we're going to build.
Yeah, it kind of comes in right close to that little memorial tree of my brother Rick. You know, maybe somebody can come up something cool that lines up with that because it's going to come back close to where that, you know, the Stasic track. You know, we'll have to see how it comes into there. But that would be really cool. It'd be fun, you know. I don't think we can go with Chuck Jr. because I don't know if you ever talked to Chuck's son.
He's
pretty personal with that, and he's, you know, we get along great, and he's hilarious. But he misses Chuck's.
I've always wanted for the dream race to just put Chuck where the old Chuck's son jump was with like a coin jar that says "Bring back the Chuck's son jump." You know,
we should build one that's about 12 feet tall, like one of those, you know, the cardboard like selfie thing of Chuck's son that sits there.
It would be cool to do. You know, one thing I've wanted to do.
That I'm just – sorry, Joey.
Go for it.
That Abide Moto, he likes to bring up Chuck's son in funny ways and only tag me and me and Ty Crandall. We're all trying to figure out who Abide is, but he's fun with it.
Yeah.
He's local enough where he misses Chuck's son probably as much as most.
Yeah. I mean, that was maybe the most iconic section of the track that left, right?
That and the whoops, right?
You'll hear it about forever. Well, the whoops are still there.
I look at three. You got
the hoop or the one,
well,
the hoops.
Sorry, that left. Yeah, our three iconics were obviously Chuck's son, Horsepower Hill, and obviously the whoops.
Ski jump and S-turns, I would have to think.
I guess.
I would like, and this is something we could work with Fusion on, but it'd be cool to highlight all of those sections and make signs for them. So people that aren't always here at the track, like for the National, you could have a, you know, section that says, you know, the ski jump, you know, horsepower hill, like signs like that, you know, to make it a little bit more, you know, of an iconic.
Yeah, we got like VP stepped up this year, and so VP is going to be the VP horsepower hill, and mm-hmm. I like that. Maybe we can work with VP to get some kind of a more iconic history logo sign or something that talks about that, to do the same thing with, you know, it used to be the 100% ski jump. And then you got, what was it? The KTM tunnel leading the old miniature Chuck Sun leading into the pitcher's mitt, not catcher's mitt. And so there's, we could do more with some of that, I think, for sure.
So, all right, well, cool. Well, this is going to end it for the April edition of the ShootCast. This is ShootCast number 2. Here for season 54. Again, thanks to all the sponsors: motorsport.com, Fox, Peterson Cat Rental, Monster Energy Drink, Motorsport Hillsboro, McCord's Vancouver Toyota, Dunlop, Fusion Graphics, McGovern Metals, Sims Electric, Dirt Bandit, Duvall, Adrenaline Designs, Hero Fence, and Moto of the Northwest. Don't forget to, if you have questions you want us to tackle, maybe it's a question you've always had.
Pro Circuit.
Oh, Pro Circuit, yep. a question you've always had here at the track. Maybe it's a way that the track is run. Maybe it's something to do with the facility. Maybe it's something that you think would be cool to add, or maybe why something isn't done. We can try to dig into the behind the scenes for you guys on that. And that's the whole point of the ShootCast, is try to give you guys a little bit of what goes on month to month here at the track, and then kind of the reasons why, yes and or no, that some things can get done. So anyhow, we'll see you at the next one. And actually we'll see you here at April 19th. It's the first practice, and then Classic 7 on April 26th and April 27th for Classic 7 MX series.
Yeah, thank you guys. Thank you, Joey. And again, I feel we're a little behind on letting you know what direction we head for our series, guys. So been working hard at that. Once I kind of know the look of insurance, we'll know the look of the series, AMA or not. I think there's benefits definitely to AMA if we don't get there this year. No real big deal, but just, again, guys, thanks for being patient. And Joey, thanks for doing this podcast.
Yeah, just remember, when you show up to any track in the Northwest this spring and the owner looks 10 years older, that's why. He's been on the phone with insurance companies. He's been trying to figure it out. And, so just – you know, maybe shake their hand, say, hey, thanks. We heard about all the stuff you guys are going through. Thanks for keeping this place open, because I like to ride. My family likes to ride, and all the above. So we'll see you guys here shortly.
Yep. Thank you. See you guys.